Good morning. It is so good to see you all here, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, as my grandfather used to say when he got the pulpit. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Luke, the 6th chapter. I'm going to be looking at verses 20 through 26. Today's message is the Beatitudes to fix our attitudes. We all need a little mechanic in now and then. And when you get to that place, I'd like to ask those of you who can to stand as I read from God's Word. And turning his gaze toward his disciples, he began to say, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you and ostracize you and insult you and scorn your name as evil for the sake of the Son of Man. Be glad in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way their fathers used to treat the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you are receiving your comfort in full. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. And woe to you when all men speak well of you, for their fathers used to treat the false prophets in the same way." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. And God, today, I ask, Lord, that each and every one of us, Father, starting with me, Lord God, that we will look upon our hearts. And Father, we pray that you will reveal the things to us, dear God, that we need to see, the things that we need to change. Help us to take notice, dear God. And we ask you, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, Father, to change us in these areas of our lives. And we ask and pray, Father, that we will become the type of disciples, dear God, that witness and that serve and that love and tell others about Jesus. And dear God, we ask it all. And I pray, Lord, as I speak this message, Lord, that every word will come from you, straight from your Holy Spirit, and I yield myself to you right now, dear God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Excuse me. I'm getting through my allergies here, so we have to bear with me again. The Beatitudes to fix our attitudes. I want to open this sermon with something a little different today. And my friend Michael Ward, I told you, had passed away of brain tumor, 37 years old. But I want to mention him because of his heart and his attitude as a Christian. Michael, 37 years old, very sick, very much in pain with this brain tumor causing him numerous body issues, health issues, whatever, not feeling good, tired, worn out, whatever you want to say, really, medically, that the doctors told him, everything that he experienced. But this is what I heard from somebody who went to his funeral yesterday. I didn't get to go because I had to work at a funeral. But this is what was said. They said Michael Ward spent the last few weeks at Barnes Hospital in the condition he was in, deteriorating every day. And they said from the moment he awoke every morning until he either napped or went to sleep at night, they said that Michael Ward witnessed Jesus Christ to every single person that he came into contact with at that hospital. This is what I want us to think about. We have a lot of attitudes. We have a lot of excuses that we could come up with why we don't witness, why we don't serve the Lord like we should be. And when it really boils down to it, that's all they are, is excuses. I want to put a challenge out to myself and to everybody that's here this morning to pursue the Lord like Michael Ward did. That you would be willing, no matter how you feel or whatever's going on in your life, that you will make it a point to tell people that you come into contact with who your Jesus is. And I found out that yesterday at Michael's funeral, I found out that there wasn't a bunch of crying and weeping going on. But what happened at Michael's funeral was they had a celebration of life. There was worship going on. The pastor who preached his message yesterday said, "Lord, I need to know what you want me to speak on today. I need a word from you, Lord." And he'd been praying that every day. "Give me a word, Lord. What do I need to tell these people?" And he said the one word that came to him was worship. And that's what they did yesterday, was they worshiped. So today, let us examine our attitudes. And today, let's shift our attitudes. Let's pick them up from where they're at. And let's move them on and give our attitudes, give our personality, give everything to the Lord. And let's ask God to reignite the fire within our heart, to make us feel and experience the day when we got saved, when we felt like we could conquer the world, like we wanted to tell everyone about Jesus. That's what I want to put the challenge out today. But beginning through this message this morning, I want to look first at the four blessings of verses 20 through 23. Jesus said in verse 20 that blessed are the poor. When you think about poor, you would think in a physical sense of poor and helplessness. Someone who is in abject poverty, somebody who is in complete destitution, one who has fallen from a better estate, one who is so poor that he can only obtain his living by begging. But then let's flip that over to the spiritual side and let's look at the poor that are in spirit. There are so many Christian people today who are poor in spirit, basically by saying they are not seeking the Lord in their life. There are people who have gotten to a place where they don't pray like they used to. Somebody said to me a few days ago, as I was talking with them, they said, "You know, our churches have an altar. Why don't we use the altars anymore? Why don't we see people going forth and getting on their knees and praying to God? Why don't we pray for revival?" Basically, what came to me in my spirit was, because we have become comfortable where we're at. It's kind of like we've gone to the bargaining table with God, and we should never bargain with God. With God, it's all Him and none of us, really, is what it should be. It should be all Him, none of us. And when we come before the Lord and we receive Christ as Lord and Savior, we should be saying, "Father, help me every day to rise to a new level." But the thing we have to keep in mind, people start thinking so far ahead down the road, people start getting overwhelmed in their thoughts and in their emotions of what could happen or what the Lord's going to do. They want to get comfortable and stay right where they are. People only want to pray and quiet at home. People are afraid to come to the altar. People are I really believe they are afraid of what the Lord would do with the church. People have reached a state of being poor. And when we are poor in spirit, when we are not seeking the Lord, then God will not pour into us what we need. Now, Jesus, when he walked the face of this earth, Jesus was very rich in his spirit. He always did the Father's will. He always prayed. He was always humble and obedient. He always loved. He always served. He always went to the Father first before he did anything. And he always said, "Father, not my will be done, but thy will be done." And that's the greatest example of being rich in spirit for Jesus, is that at the time when he was facing crucifixion, he said those words, "Father, not my will be done." He said, "If it be thy will, let this cup pass from me, but not thy will be done." But not my will be done, but thy will be done. Even though Jesus was going to face something pretty hard, he was willing to step forward and go through with it. How many of us as Christian people are willing to say, "Father, I don't know what lies ahead, or maybe there is something lying ahead I'm aware of, but regardless of what's ahead, Father, let your will be done." Because God, when you come to God and you pray and you seek the Lord, then God's going to pour into you the strength and the power and the might and the ability to do what you have to do today. There are some people that are so poor mainly because they don't even read the Word of God. Do you realize that the Word of God is life? The Word of God is power. I saw a picture the other day, and boy, these pictures really minister to me. After Hurricane Helene and Hurricane Milton had blown through the areas that it did, one area that was the hardest hit in Florida was a church. The church had damage all around it. Everything inside the church had been damaged. But right on the Lord's Supper table, down in front of the pastor's pulpit, was a Bible that was opened, and the Bible was not even touched. It was not even damaged or harmed, because God's Word is powerful. God's Word is truth, and God's Word is life-giving. And if we would quit being poor in our spirit and get into this Word and read it and apply it to our life, then the same power that is in these precious, wonderful words would fill us up, it would build us up, and you and I, when the storms of life blow around us, just like the Bible would stand through any storm, we could do the same thing. Jesus also said in verse 21, "Blessed are the hungry." Not only do we suffer hunger and thirst in a physical sense, and you can see the people, where if you drive anywhere in Carbondale, or if you go anywhere in Marion or West Frankfort or Benton, any place you go, what's one thing that you see? You'll see somebody sitting somewhere at an intersection with a sign that they need food or they need something. And there are people who do suffer through hunger in a physical sense, but in the spiritual sense, there are people who are hungry and thirsty, and those areas are righteousness and eternal life. There are some people that they're so hungry that this could all go back to, all this ties together really, but People who don't read the Word of God, people who don't stay in constant fellowship, they're going to hunger. Just like if you went days without eating, I mean, how would you be when somebody sat you down in front of a big meal? Well, number one, you would be weak. You would be pretty famished. Now, yesterday, I left the house about 6:15. I went to the Kiwanis Pancake Day breakfast, and I had two pancakes and two pieces of sausage and a cup of decaf coffee and my vitamins, and I went to work. And at work, we didn't get to eat lunch. We had a funeral at 1 o'clock. And then I left the funeral home at 3 and had to go to an anniversary dinner. I still hadn't eaten. And I'm telling you what, if I could have wrestled a grizzly bear down and skinned him alive and cut me some hind hocks off of him and cooked him, I would have eaten the whole thing probably. But I tell you what I was feeling. I was weak and dizzy. And all I could think about was getting some kind of nourishment. And I tell you what, when I got to the Heron Civic Center for that anniversary party, oh, you could smell the barbecue. You could smell the baked beans. You could smell the potato salad. And I just about lost my Christianity and just went ahead of everybody else and got me a plate. But I refrained from doing so. And it's funny in the same way in the spiritual sense. If we don't stay in fellowship with God, if we don't walk in God's ways, if we don't hunger after God, and if we're not being filled with His Word daily, guess what's going to happen? We're going to suffer spiritual weakness. We're going to start acting in ways that are not becoming of us. We're going to start doing things that would make us very ashamed of our own actions. People under afflictions and pressures of life today, there are people who mourn because of sin in their life. This all leads to hunger. People worry and worry and worry about, well, what I have done, or what I haven't done, or what I'm going to fail at. I want to say this, when Jesus forgives you of your sin, number one, when the blood of Jesus was shed on the cross, His blood was shed for the remission of sins. Jesus was given His love. He was given us mercy and grace. And when we come to the Father, when we've done wrong and we repent, we ask for forgiveness of our sin. The Bible says that God cast our sins as far as the east is to the west, and what? He remembers them no more. The Lord does not remember your sin. Who remembers your sin? The devil knows what you did, and you remember what you did. But here's the thing. Instead of going through your life feeling the defeat of what you did or what you should have done or shouldn't have done, you should say, Father, in my life, I want the areas that I'm hungry for You, I want You to satisfy and fulfill. I mean, in ministry, I tell you what, this is a lonely profession. I shouldn't call it profession. It's a ministry. This is a very lonely ministry at times, because you know what? There are preachers who go through so much that sometimes they feel like they're not good enough. They feel like maybe they're not loved enough. Maybe they feel like when people come and get on them about things, they feel like they're not doing a good job. So they start to drop off. And the devil likes to feed that kind of stuff. My grandma said to me one time, what you feed is what will grow inside of you. If you don't want to be hungry in the spiritual sense, then quit feeding the devil what he's wanting. Quit feeding the man of flesh that should not be living within you. There should be a man of flesh. There should be spirit that we're living by. If we are trusting God with our lives, then our life should be, Father, I want to feed the Spirit man. If we feed the things of the Spirit, then God can work within us. But if we start to feed the flesh, then we've handed ourselves over to the enemy. Also, Jesus mentioned, blessed are the brokenhearted. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Now, in the physical sense, there's a lot of people who battle depression, anxiety, fear. I tell you what, I didn't realize how many phobias were out there. I didn't. I sat down one time and was reading a medical article about all the different phobias that are out there. And I thought, my goodness, there's fear of spiders. There's fear of like grasshopper. Everybody has got something that I'll tell you what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of poisonous snakes. Now, but I don't let that fear stop me from going to places and enjoying myself, because I know there's places I go that these snakes hang out. But I also have to know and be smart that I can't get within 2 to 3 feet and play with them, because I'm going to get bit. But there's so many people that have all these phobias and fears. And when you look at it on a spiritual side, so many people are afraid of things in life. And a lot of people, when I've talked to them, I ask them, what are you afraid of? And they say, I'm afraid of the devil. And I go, why? Why are you afraid of the devil? Because he torments me with words, with thoughts, with feelings and fears and all these emotions. Bad dreams happen. I was raised this way, or I was talked to that way, I was abused. Let me share something with you, and I may have told you this before. My father was a mean man. My father didn't care. My father treated his children horribly. Now, my father loved his nieces and nephews and grandchildren, but my father despised his own 3 children, and they were the worst things could have ever happened to him. Well, I had a choice in life to make. I became a Christian. I had a choice to make. Do I give in to the things that would cause me to weep for my past? Do I give in to those things? Do I believe what the devil has spoken to me? Not a bit. When Jesus Christ came into my heart and my life and made a change within me, I had a choice to make. I am an adult. Am I happy with how my childhood was? No. Do I dwell on it? No. You know what I dwell on? The one thing that I have is I have a Father in heaven who loves me above everything else. I don't need people's recognition. I don't need people to know my name. I don't need my name to be plastered all over anything. I don't need people to say, what a great guy. No, I don't need any of that. You tell the Lord how good He is, because He's the one responsible. And I thank God for what He's given me. But I've got choices to make as an adult. I could live the hurts of my past, or I could live on the blessings that lie ahead of me today. And because of His love for me, I don't sit around and hang my head over what could have been. Now, 4 months before my dad died, my dad apologized. So you know what I did? Father, I forgive you. I forgive you, Dad. And I put my arms around his shoulders. And as he cried, I never saw my dad cry except for when his father passed away when I was in the 4th grade. But then I found out why my dad was like he was, because his dad was mean. And I never understood that, but the Lord showed me that without Jesus in their heart and life, all they do is they sit around and be miserable and hateful and mean. There's no real love to overtake the sadness that's in their life. But so for 4 months, though, that I had with my dad on the face of this earth, I went over as much as I could, and my dad and I had the best relationship. So what do I reflect on? I, instead of reflecting on the things that he did bad, for 4 months, they were really good. And then my dad went into the hospital, and he was just fading away. And I remember being at his bedside, and I laid myself on my father, and I said, "Daddy, please don't die. I love you, and I want to have more and more good days with you." And my dad said to me, "Son, I love you." Now, that's the greatest thing in the world. So, with our life, now let me get on this. I'll quit chasing that rabbit around the tree now. Let's look at our spiritual life. What you had with the devil when you were a non-Christian, when you were not saved, that's not your life anymore. That is not your identity. When Christ became your Lord and Savior, everything old was done away with, and everything was put brand new into your life. God gives you a brand new start. And do you know that when you ask God for forgiveness, He wipes the slate clean, He gives you a brand new start, and I thank God for His mercy and His grace. Because it's that mercy and grace that lets me know that He loves me beyond what I could even comprehend or think or imagine. But my life is not a life of brokenheartedness and sadness and depression and fear. My life is filled with love and wonderment and joy and rejoicing and praise, because my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus died for me. He rose from the dead. He sits at the right hand of God the Father, and He is coming back again very, very soon. And on top of that, I get to come to church every Sunday and worship God and fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. And then I get to preach His Word from the pulpit. So therefore, I don't have a reason to be downtrodden and brokenhearted. And then lastly, Jesus said, "Blessed are the ones that are hated." You know, Jesus was hated by everybody because He was loved. And this is why there's so much hate, because there's darkness in people. There's so much evil. And Jesus encountered evil with light and love. And when His light got near the darkness, you know how it is. How many of you, I want to ask this now, how many of you ever slept without a nightlight? Anybody ever sleep without a nightlight? You had a nice dark room? All right. Now, how many times were you as nice and asleep, and all of a sudden your mom come to wake you up for school, and she throws on that light switch, and your eyes ain't got adjusted? What's the first thing you do? Throw the covers over your head. Because why? The light bothered your eyes. Well, guess what happens when the light and love of the Lord gets around people who live in darkness? They want to throw the covers back over their head because they don't want to be exposed to the light. And that's why there's so much hate in this world, because people don't know the love of the Lord. And if you as a Christian have that love inside of you, then the light should be shining forth from you, and you should be willing to go to any dark place to witness. I saw the other day, there's a woman, and I'm just going to say this, you can take it for what it's worth, but this, her profession used to be that she was a stripper. And anybody ought to know what a stripper is. And she worked in the nightclubs. She was in bondage to sex and drugs and all kinds of things. And that was her lifestyle. And somebody came to her and shared the love of Jesus with her. And she got saved. And she said that she didn't know what real love was until she met Jesus. And she said, all of the blackness in my life left me. And 2 years later, this woman has traveled all around the area, Missouri, Illinois, Indiana, and I don't know where else they may go, but she has witnessed to other women who work in these environments, who have done this kind of lifestyle, and these women are getting saved, and now there is a group of these women who literally go into these clubs, and they are witnessing to these young girls who are wandering aimlessly through life, who are living in darkness. They are bringing the light and the love of the Lord, and young women are being saved and delivered from the lifestyle that they're in, and they're quitting their jobs, and they're going to church, and they're seeking the Lord. They don't worry about the hatred that's out there. They don't worry about the what ifs or who's going to say what, but what they're doing, they're going forward in the name of the Lord. They have a changed heart and a changed attitude. And they're making a difference for Jesus. And I told you last week, I will walk into a bar to witness to people. If you see me walking into a bar, you better hope and know in your heart that what it's not to do what you would think people do in a bar. If you see me walking into a bar, it's because I'm going in to witness. And I'll tell you this too, I'll say this, I would walk into any place myself that God sent me to, to witness. Where did Jesus go? Jesus went to hang out with the sinners. And what happened when they had an encounter with Jesus? They turned from their former lifestyle and they were saved. Next, I'm going to finish the other half next week. So I've got four more points. So I'm going to finish those next week. So we'll stop right there.